Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. Hello, friends. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic. I'm excited that you're here. And today's topic is a good one. It's called Managing Your Boss. I've mentioned it before. It's essential to any job, anywhere, and anything that you're doing. And we have one of the best subject matter experts, one of my besties, one of my favorite people ever, and that's Mr. Tyler Valentine. And he'll be joining us very, very soon. Let's get started. As you know, we break the podcast down into the Learn the Love and the Kick Ass. And the reason that we built the podcast this way is one, that's kind of my life philosophy, but two, because we want to learn a little, and then you can't really be in business or in leadership or in anything that you're doing in a job sense without relationships, without people that are out there. No one is as smart as somebody else. I mean, we're all smart together, and relationships are so important, and that's why love comes in. And if anything the world needs more of today, it's love. And kick ass is an important thing today and every day, because it's all about execution. So often that's what's missing. That's what's missing in leadership. That's what's missing in the topic that we're going to talk about today. That's what's missing in all results, is people getting out there making it happen. And that's what I want you to do, is be inspired to do something differently. After today, after listening to this podcast, after watching this podcast, start doing something differently. I urge you to get out there and kick some ass. So when it comes to managing your boss, what does this even mean? Why would you manage up, right? And if you think about some of you, that even the CEOs on the podcast today, those that are listening, those that are watching and absorbing, you have probably more bosses than the average employee. Most employees have one boss. Those of you that are entrepreneurs probably have multiple bosses in the people that you serve. And so we've talked about this topic in a few different kind of ways. And what does it mean to manage your boss? And why would that be so important? And I really believe in this concept for a lot of reasons. And one, because your number one gatekeeper as a leader is the person that writes your paycheck, the person that could make your life miserable, is your boss, right? And I think that, so there's the negative, the stick side of things. And the carrot side of it is the person that can help build your future is also your boss. The person that can become the resource or the fuel to your fire could be your boss or your bosses. And I think that so often this person is overlooked. And the higher up that you grow in your organization or in your life, the more high performing of a leader you become, the more entrepreneurial you become, the more lonely you are. Because you become more singular. It's a little lonely at the top. Most organizations, the majority of organizations have less people at the top than they have at the bottom, right? So as much as people try to flatten organizations, as much as that movement in the mid-2000s happened of everyone flattening and opening cubicles and open workspaces and all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, usually there's one boss or a bunch of stockholders or board of directors and then a CEO, right? And because of that, as a boss, there's often not people that are constantly giving affirmation or constantly giving direction, constantly sharing some life and love. And it can be lonely in that perspective. And so if you have employees that are as much working towards your shared vision as you are working towards theirs, that is a great place to be as a boss. And as an employee, helping strive for what your boss's vision is, you're making their lives easier as well as your own. And so I really believe in this philosophy. So how do we do it? When it comes to managing your boss, one of the main ways that I think is to know what they're doing at all times. So know what your boss is up to and what their end goal is. So what makes them, you know, sleep well at night or not sleep at night? How do they, what would keep them awake, or what would make them feel great at accomplishing? What is on their to-do list, or what are their main projects or deadlines? And you may not have the ability to contribute to those projects, but knowing what they are allows you to be cognizant of that or to be aware of that. It's like if you have somebody important in your life and they're in a hurry, you don't typically want to go get in their way with something trivial, right? And so same is true when it it comes to your boss and the things that they're happening. If you are sensitive to the main big projects that they have, or if it's board meeting day, or if it's, you know, different things that they have in their lives, then you can be cognizant and aware and sensitive and also contribute to the livelihood and the success of those items as well. So know what they're up to. Number two is understand and know their communication style. And I've shared this a few different ways about challenging the golden rule. Like, don't do unto others as you want done unto you. Do unto others like they want to be done unto, right? And I really believe in that. Know what your boss likes and give it to them. Know how your boss likes to communicate and communicate with them like that. So often, we as leaders become selfish in our communication style. I like receiving things like this, so you must communicate with me like this. Instead of saying, how do the people around me like to be communicated with? And then delivering that. Because just being open and saying, how do you like it? And then doing it. Because so often, or as a boss, making sure that you share with your employees how you like it is important. Because then they know how to win, how to succeed. And that's really essential. Let me give you an example. I, as you know, travel a lot for work. And so I'm in the field quite often. And in the time that I'm in the field, maybe it's a couple of days and working with an institution and planning, when I'm there facilitating, I'm with this institution. I'm not checking emails. I'm not on my phone. I'm 1,000% with that institution. And so I'm not even getting a single email or phone call the entire time I'm there. So by the time I'm done, I'll have 500 emails. And so getting an email is not the way to communicate with me if you want really, really quick communication. So I've told my employees, if I'm in the field and you need fast, you know, response, text message is really the only way. Because on a break, that would be the only thing that I would be checking. I'm not going to go through 500 emails, right? And so that we've had those open styles of communication to be able to say, and that's part of this managing the boss. So the employees and I have those conversations to say that this is the best route. So it's as easy as that. And I do the same with my bosses. I even emailed the other day and said, hey, how do you like receiving requests for PTO? So there's not a formal process for it. How do you like receiving it? Because I'd like to deliver it that way. Right? I mean, silly things like that just make that person's life easier. And then it's whenever will a person say, I'm not going to tell you how I like it. I mean, come on, let's be real. So that opening up that channel for communication. The next is look at your boss as a resource. Looking at not necessarily somebody that's overseeing your duties or as a micromanager, but they're there to help you do your best work. Because when you look good, they look good, right? When you do good work, their team, their organization, their departments, their all of that look good. And so that's important. And the final piece before we begin to transition here is that prototyping trumps discussion. And I've talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it again. The more that you get to a solution before you go to your boss, the better. Instead of going to your boss and saying, hey, so I've got this problem and I just wanted to talk to you about the problem. Let's brainstorm the problem. No, go to the boss and say, I've got a problem and here are a couple solutions. And this is one I recommend. What do you think? Because it is so much easier as a human being, as a leader, to edit than it is to create, right? And it's so much better as a leader to have employees that are creating, and then you can make selections. Now, if you have a problem with what they created, I would imagine most leaders are going to tell you their problem, right? But it'd be so much better to have your employees come with solutions. And I think that's missing so often. And so as we manage our bosses, making sure that we go with solutions, that prototyping, creating solution is so much better than talking about it. So as we begin to transition to our subject matter expert, I want to talk about it as a leader. Don't forget that you want to lift up your staff and bring them with you. Even if it, you know, that not all staff want to be the boss someday, but they do deserve to see a path of their future and what their vision and your vision is, and to share in that the success and know what it is, because they're spending their life with you, no matter what your job is, whether it's in retail or it's in business, or whether it's in entertainment, any of these kinds of things that you're doing, all of that you're spending your life doing it, and you only get one chance. And so having it feel passion for that, and the people that work for you feel passion for that, is so important. So let's talk to somebody that really has, you know, some perspective when it comes to bosses and it comes to leading people. And that is Mr. Tyler Valentine. He's the president and CEO of Laramie Plains Federal Credit Union. He has his bachelor's in finance from the University of Wyoming. He's also on the board of directors and the treasurer, as a matter of fact, for the Mountain West Credit Union Foundation. He's also the chair of the Mountain West Credit Union Young professional. So he's doing this all as a young man. He is the fundraising lead for the World Young Credit Union Professionals. And he was voted one of the top 20 under 40 in the Mountain West region just last year. So let's say hello to Tyler. Hello, Tyler.
Hello.
How are you? Thank you for being here with us.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your journey. And are you the boss? Hashtag boss?
Well, I think a lot of people think I'm the hashtag boss, but I have a lot of bosses. Getting here is a different story, and a leadership journey isn't necessarily the position you have. So I became CEO when I was 25 years old. Wow. The leader that I was then versus the leader I'm now is different, but my title's the same. And you can really lead from any point within the organization. And just because you have the title doesn't mean you're a leader. I think that that's really important for people to see and understand and realize. And those people that have achieved that leadership role, that just because they're there now and have the title doesn't mean that they're a leader. You have to put effort and energy and work really hard at being a good leader throughout your career, in my opinion.
Wow, 10 years. So 10 years ish, right? And
yeah,
25. That's insane.
What were it you is,
do,
yeah.
do you look back and go, "Oh my gosh."
I do. And you know, sometimes it's like, "Wow, it's been 10 years." Feels like 10 years, and other times it feels like I've been doing this for 3 or 4. We've been through so much change as an organization, and we've grown by almost double in that 10 years. And so, it's one of those things that we at my team work really hard at having that historical perspective, but also always looking forward and making sure that we're putting as much back into the organization and the people as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important as well.
What does it mean to manage a boss?
To me, it means a lot of what you mentioned going into it, but it really means being hyper aware of what they want, how they communicate, how they want communicated with, as you mentioned. But I also think it's a bigger conversation around when you get into leadership roles like I am. I do have bosses. I have a board of directors that I report to and a board chair that is my point of contact on that board of directors. But it isn't that isn't all of it, because I'm a CEO of a member-owned financial cooperative. So I have 6,000 plus members that are also my bosses. So it's being really aware of the different audiences that you have. If you have more than one boss, if you have more than one group or business, you know, sector within your organization, that you're aware that maybe one style isn't going to fit every situation, and that you work towards and understand that and communicate in the best way possible with those people in those leadership roles and in the audiences that they represent.
I absolutely agree with that. So it's situational in a lot of ways, right? So you're having to be what's best for the certain individual, but that doesn't necessarily mean inauthentic. And I think so often people think that way, like I'm gonna have to fake it and be something I'm not. It just means be the best version of you for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. I'm a very authentic and real person, and I don't think I really have the capability to be inauthentic. If I am, I think people know it. And so it's just tailoring my approach. It's still me. It's still my approach. It's just tailoring it in a way that makes sense to that group of people. Mm-hmm. Our annual meeting is coming up next week. What I want to put forth in that meeting is different than maybe what I would say in a board meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's just to communicate effectively with the membership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And being to get your ultimate results across, right? I mean, and having that end result, because I think that's what we lose sight of somewhat. At the annual meeting, you have a different end result. And at the board meeting, you have a different end result. And so you have to communicate in a way that gets you to the end game.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, to put myself in the best light as well, I think that that's an important piece of this. So these people are my bosses. If all of the membership doesn't like me, doesn't like the way I communicate, I don't get to the right end result for them at that annual meeting, that has an effect on my career, because they're going to, you know, talk with my board of directors, and, you know, that's going to impact that. So you have to know how to communicate, but be authentic in every situation.
What do you do at your annual meeting? Do you have to be funny or?
I try to be funny.
Yeah. How does that work?
Well, it depends.
So how do different groups that you work with, whether it's the young professionals or the different boards or the foundation, I mean, how do they all do when it comes to being managed or managing up and that type of thing?
Yeah, I think young leaders sometimes don't understand that that's a component of working for somebody and working with a group. I think they lose sight of what that looks like often. And, you know, you talked about it in your intro here and in pieces where you have, and I call it whining, right? People just come with the problem. But that's it. And we, as a leader, I want them to come with the problem, the solution, and sometimes a step beyond that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've already said, okay, this is the problem. Here's the solution that I developed. And, oh, I tried it and it worked great. Mm-hmm. That's one step further to taking action in a proactive way on it. And I think that that too, sometimes, and it's situational, obviously, we don't want people going out and, you know, going, oh, here I developed a solution and just changed our entire way we work in this business model or with this client. That isn't what I mean. But, you know, on those small things, especially, that it would make their job so much easier instead of clicking four times if they did this and they only had to click once to get into what they needed. And it's going to save them time throughout the day. That's typically not an issue for a leader.
Right.
And so that they came with the solution. Or they came with the problem, they came with the solution, and then they solved it for themselves and said, I did this, it works, and it saved me 20 minutes in my day that I can do these important things. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. And I think that so often I'll have an employee come and say, hey, I think we should do this. And I recommend we do that. And this will be the end result. And I'll go, okay, go. And almost times I think people are shocked, like, oh, okay. Like I wasn't expecting you to just say, okay. Like it just doesn't happen enough out in that we don't trust each other to give people a chance enough anymore.
I agree. And I think especially with young people, I work a lot as in some of the organizations that you mentioned that I volunteer with and see this a lot in young leadership. And I think some of it is leaders at the top don't empower and entrust their young people. They don't have mechanisms within their organizations that say, okay, you can make changes here, but when it gets to this level, then it goes, you know, through your supervisor or through committee or whatever the setup is. But within this realm, you can make these decisions. And they don't empower people enough to do that in their organizations, I don't think. And young leaders also don't ask for it as well. So sorry, my office light can't see me. It turned off.
It's efficiency. It's what we call efficiency.
There we go.
And so, there's something to that too. And I wonder how much of it is pain avoidance in a sense that the world, we don't give people a chance anymore and we don't delegate as much as we should. And as leaders, we hold on to things. We hold on to the reins almost too much, to painstakingly too much in a fear or in a pain avoidance sense in that we don't want people making mistakes because cleaning up the mess of mistakes takes so much more time sometimes than doing it ourselves, right? And the hard part of that is that we've gotten so crunched on time that we get to that place. And that's unfortunate because people won't learn if we don't give them a chance. And we all failed in order to get to where we are and that we have got to do that, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think the important piece that you mentioned there is cleaning up the mess. I think then we as leaders take on the mess and clean it up. Mm. We need to empower those young people and work with them and coach them through cleaning up the mess, but not take ownership of the mess that they created. If you have to take ownership of the mess, make sure that they understand what the process was to fix it and not just leaving it to me to clean up and them not understanding what went wrong or even if they understood what went wrong, not the steps that it took for me to get there to fix it.
Right. The pain that is in it. That makes absolute sense. So do you think that there are some bosses that are unmanageable?
I don't know. I think there can be. I have a story. I worked for a woman that was transitioning in her career. She had decided that she no longer wanted to run the organization, and she was looking to move on, and she was getting her PhD, and she was on her way out. Mm-hmm. But she'd been with the organization for 25 years. And so getting her to understand, to let go of those things that she could no longer do because she wasn't in the office as often as she used to be, and moving into empowering her people. She just was so done with everything related to our organization that she wasn't manageable in that sense. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a really rare thing. I think most people in senior leadership positions got there through their intellect and through working with people, and they want to stay there and they choose to do the best job that they can. I mean, most people, as a CEO, I'm not going to phone it in anymore, right? I still want my organization to do well and exceed, and that has benefit to me as well.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes people get hung up on style differences and let style differences end up taking over everything. And style differences are only one little piece. And at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And so if we can understand what people's end result are and how they like and what their style actually is, then a lot of time, get over our own egos, really, right? Yeah, is sometimes we can cater to that in a different way.
Yeah, and I think it's coming up with, especially as the organization, creating, as a leader of the organization, creating a safe space to have those difficult conversations with staff, really being hyper aware and sitting down and going, okay, this is going to, you know, I'm going to challenge you, or this might be a little rough. Hang with me through this. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. I'm not going to get defensive. Don't get defensive. I want to figure this out. I want to work with you through this. So let's have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But putting it out there, hey, this isn't going to feel great, but when it's over, when we're through it, when we're working together to make it better, that's going to feel good.
Right. Yeah. At the end result is worth it. So did you have an unexpected learning throughout your years that you weren't prepared for, or that you had an aha?
Something that actually happened recently is my group started, our office is pretty small. There's only 14 of us here. And the back corner, and there's three people back there, and they started having this mantra.
Did you put them in the corner like on purpose?
No, well, they say so. But they have this mantra back there of do your job better. And it started with them where, you know, I might come back and go, hey, you know, my marketing person's back there, for instance, and went, why didn't we get pictures at that event that we did and get those online? Or my accounting person's back there going, hey, did you review the financials before month end, Rand? I found these mistakes that we need to correct, or something like that. And they came up with a thing, because those are right minor things in the grand scope of the workplace and their job functions. They're all fixable, they're all correctable, it's not a big deal. But they came up with the mantra of do your job better. And it's kind of become a joke and something that's funny, but also a way for us to identify some process improvement. But it's, you know, can sound pretty harsh. Like if somebody comes in, they're like, oh, I didn't do that. And my response is do your job better.
Right.
You know, to somebody that doesn't understand could be sound really harsh or really demeaning. But what it has become for us is to understand that, hey, we needed to look at that differently. We needed to approach it better or differently, and have more awareness as we went into that.
It's also good to have those moments of awareness too, because so often we have to spend time on mistakes, right? We have to have conversations about mistakes, but we don't always spend enough time on celebrating success.
I agree. And this is, you know, a way that we talk about the small things. Obviously, if it's something big, we're not going to talk about it in the context of do your job better. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, for me, it's something that my team developed with themselves to have an understanding of, we need to think about these things better and differently and have that awareness. And they came up with that on their own. Mm-hmm. Now we've kind of adopted it company-wide and have these discussions every now and then, and I'll say it, and sometimes a member might overhear it and they look at me like, oh man, that's an ass.
The Hitler of
my group knows what we're talking about.
So do you have a funny story or something to leave us with?
That was my funny story. Oh. You got that,
man. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Do you have a bold action item then that the listeners can take away?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think positive communication, it's something that my team's working with. And if we could all get on it and be there going forward, I really think that it'd have broad impact across our organization. I think we try to be really flexible. We try to be really open. And then when we get those requests, we always honor them because we're flexible and we're open and we want to, you know, work with our staff as much as possible. But mm-hmm. is what ends up happening then is when we get those requests, we go, well, I don't know, mm-hmm. so-and-so's out and that's going to create a challenge. And I guess go ahead. And right now we're really working on, well, if we're going to give them the time and if we're saying that we're flexible and we're open, we should be flexible and open and respond with, yeah, sure. Like you need to take that time, go. Why do we're going to give it to them anyway. Why mm-hmm. do we have to be negative in that? And there's so much more to that, but that's just an example of what we're working with and making sure that our communication with membership, with each other, is completely positive. And even in the constructive criticism mode, it's still a positive interaction.
Yes. I love that. Thank you. If people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
They can check me out on LinkedIn, obviously connect with me there. And my email, tyler@lpcfcu.com.
And they'll check it out. Thank you so much for being here and talking about this with us, Tyler. It's great to see you. And we'll see you again very soon.
Yes.
Let's head out to our shout out.
Hi, I'm Melanie and I'm from Ireland. We're in the beautiful Hofburg Palace in Vienna. And you are listening to Brandy on the Strategic Hot Box.
That's how you do a shout out. Thank you to Melanie Cleary and thank you to Tyler Valentine for the shout out and for being our guest here today on the Hot Box. It's that time. Now it's time to kick some ass. And I'm going to do it from two frames today. We're going to talk about from managing your boss. So if you have a boss that needs to be managed or if you are the boss and you want to talk about how you can better help your employees do that, we'll look at it from both frames. So first, managing your boss, help them be or you be as informed as possible about what it is that they have working or what they're doing, what their vision is. And as the boss, help them be informed. So keep your team as informed as possible. Number two is to provide solutions. Remember that prototyping trumps discussions. Provide solutions to problems, not just talk about it. And number two, Tyler said it, be open. Be open and flexible to new ideas. Number three is to create affinity, and that's all across. You know, I believe in it. It's all about love and relationships, and build that the relationships between your team, your bosses, your employees. Number four is to anticipate. How can you anticipate what the boss may need or what their schedule brings or what stressful situations or celebrations may be? And number four is how do you assimilate your staff into the things that you have working on? How can you keep them involved, communicate? And number five is to make your boss look good and at the same time, make your team look good along the way. There's your top five, almost top 10, kick ass. Thank you again to Tyler Valentine for being here with us today and talking about managing your boss. Such an important topic. And thank you to all of you for being our people here on the Strategic Hot Box. If you have any topics that you want us to tackle at the Strategic Hot Box, let us know. Hit us up on social media. You can go to Facebook or to Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is at Strategic Hot Box and Twitter is at Brandy Love. You can go to at Brandy Love on Instagram as well. Or you can email us podcast@strategichotbox.com and send us any topics. If there's something that's been you've been kind of dealing with at the office or at your job, anything that you want to us to tackle, or if you yourself would like to be a guest or you know somebody that'd be perfect for us to chat with, please send them our way. We would love to tackle those things for you and just love to hear from you. You can also send us your shout outs that way as well. And love to just interact with you on social media. All of our friends and family family, the social media, the Strategic Hotbox family have been amazing. So keep kicking ass out there. And until I see you again, just go for it. Keep kicking ass.